you saw a neighbor struggling with heavy furniture, would you stop and offer to help? One man did and got a huge surprise. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with the tale of the Good Samaritan and the heavy TV next.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Imagine you're coming home from work when you see someone lugging a huge TV down the sidewalk. Would you pity the guy and help out, or would you drive on past? A Delaware Good Samaritan did the right thing when he lent a hand to a stranger struggling to carry a flat-screen TV. Then he noticed something. The door of his own house was ajar, and the television was his. Picture the scene. Thief and victim lock stairs. Thief dumps the TV and bolts. Victim chases thief, calling 911 on his cell phone. Police respond quickly and nab the thief and his getaway driver. The moral to the story? Lend a hand. Some good might come of it. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey there, happy Friday. Or wait, no, Thursday. Catherine Albrecht here. Yeah, it's a little too close to Christmas. It feels like all the days are blurring together. And I'm actually glad it's not Friday because I've got a lot to do before Christmas. All right. I'm sure you do too. I have a couple of stories I want to talk about. And I, for the last 2 days, if you missed it, I have been talking about prayer and really thinking a lot about prayer the last couple of days. I had something really amazing happen today. And a friend of mine who had listened to the program actually said, I think that's quantum. So if you missed it, the quantum weirdness, quantum phenomenon, the quantum subatomic, meaning smaller than atoms, the world on the subatomic level operates in a way that is pretty wild and pretty amazing and pretty astonishing and probably explains a whole lot of weirdness that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. But today I was with a friend who has recently suffered from a stroke. And I know very little about strokes, despite having kind of a semi-mini stroke on the air when I couldn't continue speaking a couple months back, if you were listening for that weird show, where for about 10 minutes I couldn't even form a sentence. But aside from that, which I don't know if that was a stroke or a migraine or an ocular migraine, who knows what, but it hasn't come back. Praise God. But I know very little about strokes. I know a lot about cancer because I spent an awful lot of time researching it. I know a lot of things about conditions that members of my family or people that I love have suffered from, but I don't know very much about strokes at all. So I have a friend who is just a delightful, wonderful, talented, gifted person, and a couple months ago had a hemorrhagic stroke. Now that's when one of the blood vessels in your brain actually bursts and blood leaks out from it and you get some brain damage. Now I have actually two good friends, one of my good friends with the initials DV. You know who you are if you're listening. Also had a stroke and is doing wonderfully now. But the aftermath of a stroke, unbeknownst to me, the aftermath of a stroke can be pretty challenging. They're hard to recover from. The symptoms, and I probably should say this because everybody should be aware of this, but the symptoms of a stroke, if you're having one, it can be a little bit hard to detect. If someone with you is having one, it's a little easier to detect. And actually, let me look that up. I'm going to look up those stroke symptoms right now because there's an acronym that I want to remember. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I'm going to anyway. So while I'm looking that up, here we go. Symptoms and causes, warning signs. What is the... Oh, come on. They have these letters. There we go. Be fast. Oh, I'll use that one. There's a lot of these, different letters that you're supposed to check. But hang on, where'd it go? This one is be fast. But let me tell you the story anyway. So I have a friend who suffered from a stroke, and she's a wonderful person, full of life, full of energy, lots of ideas, but has been struggling with headaches after her stroke. So she's recovered to the point where you wouldn't even know she'd had it, but it was a pretty bad one. And she was in the hospital for a while. It took her a while to recover, but she's been having headaches, and she's been having these headaches around me, and she'll say, oh, no, it's just a stroke ache. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the heck? Why would you continue to have headaches after a stroke? Now, here's the wild thing, and I don't know if this is because of the times we're living in, because the Lord is more active, because of quantum phenomenon, or maybe because my subconscious is working overtime. I don't know where this came from, but I'm sitting there. We're actually having a cup of coffee at my kitchen table, and I think to myself, I pray in my own head for a minute, you know, Lord, I need to do a little research and figure out how to help her, right? So I'm just praying, you know, give me some wisdom here. The reason I prayed that is because that's kind of what I do. I think first of all, I'm a researcher. So if anything weird is going on, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to research it. If it's something that affects me and I need to get an answer, I typically will dive deep into all kinds of other information about it and historical information and research information. This is why I'm always telling you guys about PubMed.gov, one of my very favorite websites. In fact, probably my favorite website when it comes to medical information. PubMed.gov is where all of the academic articles are published and archived with the National Institute of Health. And you can go through them, you can read the abstracts, you can see what the latest research is on pretty much anything. So that's kind of I wish more of my friends would turn to me for this skill, but they don't. Most people, when they're having medical problems, they just listen to their doctor, and if people give them advice, it's often unwelcome. So I've kind of learned over the years to, you know, I'll drop a couple hints, say, hey, this and that, and then if they want to hear more, I have plenty more to say, hours worth. But if they don't, I just kind of move on. So I was thinking to myself, you know, I need to be the person to do the research and help with these headaches, because what the heck's going on? I'm going to research it. So I pray. And immediately after I pray, and I'm praying silently, I told you guys yesterday, I don't light a candle, bow my head, carefully fold my hands together, get on my knees. Sometimes I do. Trust me, there are times when you need to do that. But for the most part, all day long, I'm praying. Constantly. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for that. Thank you that this didn't. Oh, please help me with this. Help me find my keys. Lord, you know where they are, and you attend to all things great and small in our lives, including even seemingly insignificant things like where are my keys? You know where they are. Please guide me to where they are, because I do not know and you do know. And pretty much every time that I pray that for something missing, I then just walk right over to where it is and I get it and I find it. So I pray all day long. I pray when I need, I pray when I think, I pray when I have a question, I pray when I need wisdom. And this is not a natural thing that I just automatically do because I'm so virtuous. I have learned and trained myself to do this, and you can do exactly the same. This is not some Catherine Albrecht significant, unique thing that I do I don't know, that you can't do. You need to be doing it too. And you can do it the same way I did, which is just kind of remind yourself, oh, I should have prayed about that, and then start actually praying. So anyway, here's my friend. We're drinking a cup of coffee. She's sitting at my dining table. And I pray this. And I look over at her, and she's holding her phone. She's looking up something. I say, can you just do me a favor? Look something up on your phone. I want you to look up berberine and stroke. Now, berberine, I've heard of it, but I don't like maybe glutathione, you know, name a thing. I've kind of heard of it, you know, magnesium, calcium sulfate. I don't, it's like a word that exists in my head, but I have no idea what it is and I don't know what it's for. And so I look at her and I say, look up berberine and stroke. And she says, what is that? And I said, well, I'll spell it for you. B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E. And I go, oh, that's kind of interesting. It's berber, B-E-R-B-E-R. All right. So she looks it up and she says, well, yeah, no, it is for strokes. And I said, wait, what? Because I have no idea why I said this. Anyway, we spent the next half an hour. I had my laptop down there because we were doing some other things. We spent the next half an hour going through all of the research that blew my mind on berberine and recovery from a hemorrhagic stroke. And it turns out that this berberine, which is an extract from a plant that I actually know, it's a bush called barberry with these little red berries that I used to eat when I would go for a walk in New Hampshire because they grow, you know, people would have them as landscaping plants, little red berries on them, and you can eat them. And I would just walk by and, you know, pop a couple in my mouth as I was walking. So I know the barberry, but I don't know anything about berberine. And I find out that berberine is not just okay for strokes, not just good for strokes. It's like the thing for recovering from a stroke. And what it actually does is it takes these glial cells, I think. I can't remember the name of the neurological cells in your brain. But after a stroke, they are M1 whatever cells, and or they can be M2 whatever cells. And the M1 ones are inflammatory producing, and the M2 ones are anti-inflammatory. And so if you have a bunch of the inflammatory ones in your brain, you get a lot of headaches and you'll have neurological problems and it's not good. And if you have the anti-inflammatory ones, well, your brain works pretty well. And so I'm reading about this. Berberine actually changes the M1 cells into M2 cells and changes the inflammation into anti-inflammatories. And it, guess what? Takes away headaches after strokes. Now, how did I know this? Maybe I read it somewhere ages ago and it was in my subconscious. I don't know. But prayer unlocked it. Is that amazing or what? All right. I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about Joe Rogan coming back. So I'm all over the map today. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
After yesterday's show, I'm like, I told you yesterday, I was smacking my head because I was thinking of all those, smacking my forehead, you know, like, ah, I could have said that because of all the things I didn't say the day before. So on Tuesday's show, I talked about prayer and quantum weirdness, fuzzy superpositions, the fact that reality on a subatomic level is like a spinning coin. it's both states until you actually take a look and measure it, and then it settles on either heads or tails. And that was the case for me when I walked around for a week and had both cancer and non-cancer in my breast until I, spinning around cancer, non-cancer, and then I had my test and it was not cancer. And now that's the reality that I'm in. But that is reality. That's at least on the subatomic level, and many quantum physicists believe that it is that way on the day-to-day level that we live in as well, just in things we can't see. So that's the power of prayer. And so I was smacking my head because I was thinking, oh, I forgot to tell people to combine fasting with prayer if you have something else coming up. You know, if you have like a decision or something in the future that could go either way, combine fasting with prayer, and it's super powerful. And this is not just woo-woo hand-waving religious faith stuff, although it is, well, not the hand-waving part, but the faith, but it is reality. It's actually reality. It's pretty cool. And I was also talking about how the Bible tells us that in the last days, which I believe we're living in, knowledge will be greatly increased. And I always thought that meant scientific knowledge and technical knowledge, but I'm beginning to see that it means God's knowledge. God will increase knowledge, the knowledge that we will have of how the spiritual world works, how things actually work behind, you know, under the hood, behind the scenes. And I think this quantum stuff is a part of what's going on. And so then after yesterday's show, and I don't want to do three shows in a row on prayer, and I am going to talk about Joe Rogan in a second, but I was smacking my head after yesterday's show going, oh, I have all these notes. Normally, I sometimes take notes during the show and it's like a thing I want to remember to come back to. But let me tell you what they are. My notes from yesterday, these are on a little 3x5 index card that is sitting on my desk. And it says prayer to get an outcome, right? So that's when the coin is spinning and you want it to land on heads, not tails. Fasting, which potentiates it or makes it more potent or strengthens it. And then I had a couple things. Heal, wisdom, truth, and help, ! Let me talk about those really briefly. And you're probably going to hear me talking more about prayer because it's just been so on my heart and on my mind. And I want your knowledge to be greatly increased when it comes to the power of prayer, how to do it, why it's important, why it matters, and why it works, right? So the heal part, this is interesting. Prayer. So the coin is spinning. Well, healing is kind of like that too, isn't it? If you've got something that isn't well, like in my friend's case, the something going on in her brain that is causing headaches, there are two possible outcomes. I guess there are many possible outcomes, but two main ones. She's either going to continue having headaches, or she's going to continue having headaches. She's going to get worse. They're going to signal some future additional stroke, who knows, or it's going to get better, or the headaches are going to go away. And so in a way, my prayer for give me wisdom regarding, well, that's my next one, wisdom, but my prayer for healing, like she really needs to get better. And I get this berberine thing. I'm like, what? So that's going to take her. And by the way, we ordered it. We put it on a every 2 week delivery. We bought the brand from Thorne, Thorne, which is the really top of the line supplement brand, because they're all laboratory tested and they're pretty reliable. They're not a sponsor. I'm not getting paid for saying that, but I'm just letting you know. And we watched a video that said, make sure you take the right kind of berberine. So if you're dealing with anybody who has had a stroke or is at risk of a stroke, by the way, berberine, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff about how it helps with insulin. It helps with weight loss. It helps with cardiac things. I mean, look this stuff up. It was like, what the heck? It's amazing. But the version of it, so we went ahead and we ordered it. She's going to be here tomorrow morning. She'll have her berberine and she's going to take it morning, noon, and night. And I'll keep you posted. I'll let you know what happened. But I had no idea. I didn't even know what this stuff was. I was just like, could you look up this weird word, this weird thing, berberine and stroke? And sure enough, we find it. So that is one of my prayers on my index card, is heal. My next one is wisdom. This one never fails. This is one of my favorite. It's not only wisdom, but I learned this from Freedom in Christ. It's show me what you need me to deal with today or now. Show me. And so if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God and he will give freely. There are dozens of times a day that I lack wisdom. I don't know about you, but I would assume on occasion you lack wisdom as well. You're looking at a situation like, what do I do? Oh no, what do I do? Somebody in front of me is flipping out. Something's bad. Something's wrong. Something's right. And I stop and I go, Lord. And again, I just do this on the fly. Like I was literally talking to my friend, praying in my head. I didn't even close my eyes. I don't think she knew I was praying. So I'll just be going, you know, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me what I need to do. Teach me. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom about this thing because I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, it's mind-blowing, especially when a person that you're speaking to is having an emotional problem. Right? They're crying, they're sad, they're mad at you, they're depressed, they're discouraged, they're anything. If you pray, Lord, give me wisdom, show me what you want me to deal with, the Lord will actually give you the answer. It's wild. I love it. It is so, this is my new trick. I've only had this for like a year that I've known this trick and it's never failed. So if I've got something I can't figure out and I say, Lord, teach me, give me wisdom, usually the answer comes within a minute or two of the prayer. It's so great. All right. So that's my next one. Heal, wisdom. My next one is truth. The only power the enemy has over you is the power of the lie. He will lie to you until morning and morning until night. He will accuse you. He will tell you you're no good. He'll tell you God's no good. He'll tell you every kind of lie he can think of. And the answer, the response to the lies from the enemy is God's truth. Where do you find it? You find it in scripture and you can pray for it. So you can say, Lord, I think this is a lie. And you can tell it's a lie because you can ask yourself, is this something God would say? Is this something the Holy Spirit would say? Is this something Jesus would say? And if the thing being said to you is, oh, it's hopeless, it's terrible, you're no good, you're like, no, that didn't come from him. So if it doesn't come from him, where does it come from? And I've talked about this before on the show. It didn't come from your own head. The devil will lie to you and say, these are your thoughts, but they're not. They're thoughts he puts in your head. And so at that moment, when you're like, hang on a minute, I see fingerprints on this thought. It's coming from the devil. It's coming from the enemy. It's not a true fact. It's not a true thought. You can stop and pray on the spot. You can say, Lord, take away this deception and show me the truth. And he will lead you to the truth. All right, now my final one, and then I'm going to stop on prayer, is help, exclamation mark. Help! Sometimes we can't even pray. All we can pray is help. When you get in a desperate enough situation, your brain might not even be able to formulate a prayer, but your will, your spirit can always formulate a help. And when you say that, you have to say, help me, Jesus. That's it. And that prayer is incredibly powerful. Now, I was reading in Joel, I don't have the exact verse in front of me, but that there will come a time when things will, in the end times, things will get pretty crazy. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Somebody can look that up for me and tell me where that is. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So what does that mean? All you got to do, Jesus, help me. That's it. You don't need to have some fancy, complicated prayers, quoting scripture, and you know, just Jesus, help, help. Sometimes just those two words, Jesus, help. All right. So those are my smack my forehead because I hadn't said them to you, and I wanted to say them, and I'm sure I'm going to come up with more because as I go through my day and I'm praying, I'm thinking, oh, I forgot to mention that one. Oh, I didn't think about that one too. All right. So now let me get on to Joe Rogan. Has nothing whatsoever to do with prayer. I don't know anything about Joe Rogan. I know I've never watched him. I know he is a podcaster and he is also a comedian. I can read to you from joerogan.com or I could read to you from Wikipedia, but I think most of us at least know that Joe Rogan is a podcaster. He has interviewed Elon Musk and he is kind of a darling of, I think, of the right. I don't really know all the details about him. But what I do know, hang on, if I could stop that. My window is like scrolling, like, stop that. Hang on. Why are you doing that? My window is just scrolling and rolling. Okay. Hang on, where'd it go? Oh, come on. Joe Rogan's tattoos. Okay. This is going to illustrate a bigger principle because that's kind of the way my brain works. I don't usually talk about one single individual or a particular politician or anything like that unless you need to be set straight about a particular person. But usually I'm using stories in the news and stories in people's lives to illustrate principles. And I want to illustrate a principle with Joe Rogan about whom I knew very little other than he, I believe he supports drug use and has been, I think Elon Musk smoked pot on his show, something like that. All right. There is on Tuco, T-U-K-O, never heard of it before, Tuco.com or Tuco. I don't know, K-E, what country is that, Kenya? Yeah, on a Kenyan website called Tuco, there is a picture of the tattoo on Joe Rogan's left arm. Now, why do I have a picture of Joe Rogan's left arm on my computer? I'll tell you why. Because somehow Joe Rogan popped up in something or other, and I looked and I went, that guy has a lot of tattoos. I wonder what they are. Okay. Now, here's the principle I want to illustrate. When somebody puts a tattoo on themselves, they're telling you something. If you have a tattoo on yourself, you're telling other people something. And tattoos, to permanently put an image upon your body is a pretty important thing to do. I mean, it's, and well, not important. I have no tattoos. I'm of a generation where, how would I say it? Decent people didn't get tattoos in my generation. Not saying that decent people don't get them now, but I don't have any. And I pay attention to them when I see them. All right, I'm going to tell you what's on Joe Rogan's left arm and what it means when we come back. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Night watchman, how long till daybreak? Night watchman, how long till daybreak? How long will this night last? How long will this night last? Morning's coming, but for now, it's still night.
Hey, I'm back. Yeah, morning is coming. This is like, these are the birth pains, but after the birth pains comes the joy that every mother knows of looking into the eyes of your newborn baby and forgetting all about the birth pains and the struggle and the trial that got you there, because all that stuff passes away and then it's just good from then on. All right, I am going to thank you for KTM, who is in my chat room at Catherine-Albrecht.com. You can click on live chat. You can click on listen live. And when you do that, radio show, live chat, you can join my chat room. And I post links to things I talk about in there, especially now that I'm not on YouTube for the rest of December. So you can find me in that chat room. And I posted a link to the compound berberine. And it's incredible research finding that it repairs stroke damage. So you can find that link in there. And you may want to just look it up in relation to anything you've got going on. It's quite a panacea. It's an amazing thing. KTM has posted here Joel 232, which is the passage in Joel that talks about just calling on the Lord, going, help, Jesus, help. All right. And here it is. I'm going to read you this part from Joel. Joel's in the Old Testament. Joel, of course, is a prophet from the Old Testament. Here's what he says. The day of the Lord
I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay, that's coming, folks. That's coming. Now, we also know that the beast of Revelation, the beast of the end time, the enemy, will also cause fire to come down from heaven. So we're going to be seeing some stuff in the skies. We're going to be seeing some wild things happening. But here's what it says here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is crucial. That means in that moment when no matter what, all hell is breaking loose around you, in whatever sense that means, whatever's going on, simply say, Jesus, help me. And sometimes that's all I can pray. I've got all kinds of fancy prayers. I got all kinds of truth. I know all kinds of scripture. But sometimes all I can muster out of my mouth is, Jesus, help me. We also know the Holy Spirit prays for us with words that prays for us without words in groanings that don't even have words, because he understands far beyond when we don't even know what to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us. But Jesus, help us is something you can always, always muster. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. In other words, rescuing, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Beautiful. All right, that's Joel 2:32. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right, let me get back to Joe Rogan here. I got my window. A couple of facts about him. He launched the Joe Rogan Experience in 2009. By 2015, it was one of the most popular podcasts in the world, regularly receiving millions of plays per episode. Spotify obtained exclusive distribution rights to the Joe Rogan Experience in 2020, and guess what they paid? $200 million. And in 2024, he renewed his deal for $250 million. He is no longer exclusive just to Spotify, but is making a whole lot of money, reaching a whole lot of people. Rogan has voiced support for same-sex marriage, recreational drug legalization, universal health care, universal basic income, gun rights, and free speech, while opposing cancel culture and military adventurism. He has been, I'll just finish this, criticized for promoting conspiracy theories, COVID-19 misinformation, and for hosting guests who spread misinformation and pseudoscience. He endorsed Ron Paul in 2012, Bernie Sanders in 2020, and supported Donald Trump in 2024, and he later criticized some of Trump's policies. All right, so that's just kind of a broad overview from Wikipedia, right? Nice, easy source to get information. All right, now I want to talk about this Joe Rogan tattoo on his left arm. It is disturbing. Joe Rogan has another exciting sleeve tattoo. I'm reading from this Tuco Kenya website. I don't know why I'm on a website from Kenya, but that's what I'm on. Another exciting sleeve tattoo on his left arm that engulfs his entire arm's length. The tattoo is completely different from the one on the right arm, as it has a spiritual significance. The artwork is a godly figure on top with its third eye open. A snake is coming from the top towards the arm's entire length. The whole tattoo looks like Lord Shiva from Hindu mythology. And that's not all about the tattoo. A chemical structure of a particular chemical compound is engraved between the religious figure. I don't know what they mean by that, but Joe's explanation of the tattoo's meaning is quite interesting. The popular podcast host stated that his body artwork is another dimension that the body visits during sleep under the influence of the DMT hormone secreted from the brain. According to him, the figure is the alien who got in touch with him while he was in the other dimension. Okay, hello, what? All right, I'm looking at this tattoo. It's disturbing. It's creepy. Hang on, did I post a link to it? I will post a link to it in my chat room right now. All right, there it is. And the supposed spiritual figure that is completely surrounded by a snake is kind of looks like a Buddha, but it's got this third eye shining out of its head, and then there's the snake, and this, it's just, it's yucky.
It's really disturbing. When I first saw it, I was like, what in the heck am I looking at? And then the more I looked at it, the more disturbing it became. This reminded me of something that I want to share with you. I haven't talked about this since I came back on the air a year ago, but it bears discussion. What I discovered, I used to go on these really deep dives of just esoteric things. I guess I still do. But one of the ones I went on was snakes in various cultures around the world. And what I found is that the snake, the serpent, is venerated and worshipped in pretty much most religions, weirdly enough. In India, I don't have this in front of me because I would have to go back and find my old research or do it again, but there are shrines with snakes. The snake as a symbol of worship is pretty much universal. And one of the only places that it as I recall from my research, one of the only places that it is not worshipped was Hawaii, because they worshipped octopuses because they didn't have snakes. There were certain places where snakes are rare or not even present, and then they found something similar to a snake to worship in those places. But the snake, of course, if you have read your Bible, in Genesis, the snake is the devil. The snake is the enemy of our souls, represented by snake in the old in Genesis, represented by a dragon throughout much of the rest of the Bible. And dragons are also a pretty common symbol that is worshipped in pagan cultures and non-Christian cultures. But to put a snake around a religious figure next to something talking about aliens going to other dimensions on your arm, and actually not just have a picture of it hanging in your room, which would be a very bad idea, but to actually put it on your body, tells me something. I don't know anything about Joe Rogan, honestly. I know nothing, but I know this. I wouldn't listen to a word he had to say, because if whatever this thing is that visits him in his dreams, that is an alien that takes him to weird places through drugs, and has a snake and a pagan, I don't know, some kind of pagan consciousness symbol, god thing, idol, on his arm, that he's actually taken the time to tattoo onto his arm, paid the money, went through the pain, and walks around with every day, sees every time he gets out of the shower, he's toweling himself off, looking at this thing. He is putting on a t-shirt, looking at this thing. this is something that he thought was so significant that he made it an actual permanent representation of it on his body. Yuck. All right, so what is the bigger picture of this? The bigger picture of this is that people will tell you who they are. They will. They'll tell you who they are. If you listen, people will say who they are. They'll say it through what they wear. They'll say it through their tattoos. They'll say it through the shirts they wear, which have sometimes terrible slogans on them. They'll say them through the bumper stickers on their car. They'll say them through the words they speak out of their mouths. You will hear. People will say what they are. A family member of mine, actually, was a very not good person, had a mirror in his office. And at the bottom of the mirror, it said, mean, nasty, rotten, ugly. And that person was all of those things, every single one of those things. So people will tell you who they are. And when they tell you, you got to pay attention, because if you see who somebody is and you don't pay attention, if they're telling you and you're not listening, then yeah, it's their fault for being kind of not so great. But it's also, well, you have some responsibility there too for not actually looking at the evidence in front of your face. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention, that one of the most widely listened to voices in today's culture is clearly being influenced by something, and that something is not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that something is associated with demonic worship. So just wanted you to know that. Now, I see that all over the place, all over the place. You see it through, I don't know, Super Bowl performances and music, movies, it's everywhere. Stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, casting all your worries upon Him, for He cares for you, He cares for you, He cares, He cares for you.
Hey, I'm back. Thank goodness. Thank goodness, because this world doesn't care for us very well, does it? So I'm doing a little research here on this DMT thing that Joe Rogan has tattooed on his arm, the chemical structure of dimethyltryptamine, and I'm looking it up to try to figure out what it is. Before I do that, let me just share with you a transcript. I can't play it. I sent it over to JD saying, can you cue this up? But then I listened to it, and it's got the F word and the S word and all kinds of bad words in it, and I was like, whoa, I don't even want to be listening to this, and I certainly can't play it on the air, or we will lose our license. So very glad that I gave that a listen first. I couldn't... did not suspect, I guess I should have known, that Joe Rogan's podcast would be filled with four-letter words, but it is, and here we go. I'm not going to read the four-letter words. I'm just going to skip right past him, but I want to tell you what is in this YouTube video. This is where Joe Rogan talks about DMT. This is the thing he tattooed on his arm, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. So here's what it says. Somebody calls in from Ohio and says, hey, not much. You know, what's up, man? Not much. The question was for Joe. Yeah, what's up? Hey, dude. Oh, hey. All right, he goes, somebody was talking about how you guys are out there on some kind of drug. He goes, oh yeah, that's DMT. It's called dimethyltryptamine. It's produced by your pineal gland. Now, your pineal gland is totally interesting and related to sleep and waking cycles. But I looked that one up, and DMT is only claimed to be produced by the pineal gland by certain kind of questionably sketchy people. There is no definitive evidence that your pineal gland does actually even produce DMT. But putting that completely to the side, he says, it's a gland that lives in the center of your brain. It's the craziest drug ever. It's the most potent psychedelic known to man. Again, I'm not endorsing any of these. I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm just saying what Joe Rogan said. If I could play his voice, I would. But he says, literally, it's the craziest thing. The craziest thing about it is it's natural, and your brain produces it every night as you sleep. Okay, now there's no evidence that that is true. During the night when you're in heavy REM sleep and right before human death, your brain pumps out heavy doses of dimethyltryptamine thing. Nobody knows what it's all about. Nobody knows what dreaming is. Okay, now this is his theory. This, in my little few minutes of poking around, is not an endorsed research-based scientific theory by any stretch. Okay, but now it gets even weirder. I go on Wikipedia now, and here's what I read. Dimethyltryptamine, DMT, is a serotonergic hallucinogen and investigational drug of the tryptamine family, used as a psychedelic drug recreationally, and prepared by various cultures for ritual purposes as an entheogen. Now, in the book that I am writing, and I'm going to get backpedaled to the metal to writing that as soon as Christmas is over, that's like my marching orders, I have a section in there that I've talked about before about piercing the veil. This is ways that humanity has sought to obtain knowledge that we weren't really supposed to have. And obtaining this knowledge means interacting with demons. Obtaining this knowledge, which is mostly lies anyway, because demons lie, because Satan's the father of lies. In order to achieve this, various pagan religions and people throughout history have done really dark and awful things, including human sacrifice, in order to receive knowledge and the gifts of knowledge from the dark entities on the other side of reality. God, in protection of us, has put a veil or a covering or a wall between us and the world of the spirits of darkness. And that wall protects us from them. There are certain ways that people seek, and it's really stupid to do this, but they seek to puncture the wall or make the wall permeable or bring those dark things into our world or go into their world. And one of the ways that humanity has done this throughout the years, different cultures, is through the use of hallucinogenic drugs. And hallucinogenic drugs will actually allow you to cross through that wall that is put there for your protection and to go into another realm where people come back and say, I interacted with a whole bunch of entities and here's what they were like. And yuck. And Joe Rogan said, yeah, and I'm going to just tattoo one of them right on my arm. He calls them aliens. I call them demons. So do most people. All right. So DMT, this thing that supposedly is being produced naturally by the brain, supposedly is responsible for dreams. And by the way, if it is, if it turns out that it is, it's God's doing that in the correct dose, in the correct way. I'm not going to be touching that. That sounds like a very dangerous thing to touch with the chemical that is related to dreaming in humans. I don't think it's even related to that. But even if it was, that would be good evidence to stay clear of trying to mess with that yourself. All right, let me read on. DMT has a rapid onset, intense effects, and a relatively short duration of action. For those reasons, it's known as the, quote, businessman's trip. Ha, ha, ha. Like a trip, you know, like a psychedelic trip. In the 1960s in the U.S., as a user could access the full depth of a psychedelic experience in considerably less time than with other substances like LSD or psilocybin mushrooms. DMT can be inhaled or injected, and its effects depend on the dose as well as the mode of administration. Effects can last 3 hours or more when orally ingested, et cetera, et cetera. All right, where do we find this? This is going to bring me right back full circle to something I talked about a couple of months ago. Try ayahuasca in the Amazon. It is, ayahuasca brew of the Amazonian tribes induces intense, often indescribable subjective experiences, including vivid visual hallucinations, altered sensory perception, ego dissolution. Now, that ego dissolution where you are one with everything, that is the goal, as I talked about on a couple recent shows. I did a whole series on Eastern religions and how this ego dissolution is designed to break you down and to devalue your individual personhood, which God loves our individual personhood. He created each of us not to be part of a one universal whole, but to be individual, unique, and loved, because we are who we are, individually, unique, and loved, like created in our mother's womb. So this whole idea of ego dissolution, which our culture and modern culture and ancient cultures have promoted as some kind of enlightenment, is anything but. It is actually destroying who the individual is and calling them essentially worthless. This is how in India, you know, you can tell a tree by its fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. The end point of, or the goal in Hinduism, is to dissolve your desire for anything. You want to reach nirvana. You want to reach a state in which you don't care about anything anymore. And when you want to reach that state and you believe that that state is the highest goal of humanity, then you want to help other people reach that state too. And so you want to help them not care about themselves anymore. So you don't care if they're lying in a gutter or starving or hungry or hurt. In fact, the more starving and hungry and hurt they are, the more likely they are to stop caring about themselves and to merge into this universal oneness. So it's a very dark thing. You can go through my archives and you can find the shows that I did on that. I think I did a pretty thorough job of debunking this myth that somehow Eastern religions are a path to love and peace and freedom. They're anything but. They're paths to destruction. They're just awful, very demonic things. But anyway, so this DMT is what he claims Joe Rogan has had tattooed on his arm, along with the entity that he met when he went to this weird place, this alien thing that he went to, this alternative reality, which I think was just piercing the veil into the demon realm. And then he had a snake tattooed on his arm. A snake, for heaven's sakes. A snake, the symbol of, well, the symbol of the devil. It's pretty horrible. All right. DMT was first synthesized in 1931. Again, knowledge is being greatly increased. LSD first came out in the early part of the 20th century, too. And I write about all this in my book. I talk about all of it. But we are, anyway, that's, yeah, go on and on. Use and effects, forms, naturally sourced materials, and occurs naturally among certain plants, shamanistic purposes, Amazonian, South America, etc. So, Joe Rogan. So what does it mean? What does it mean that we've got someone who has been to this, quote, other realm, who is speaking words of influence into the minds of millions of people? If you listen to him, I'd probably stop. I don't know that I would trust an individual to speak to me when the thing that's been speaking to it is powerful and spiritual and evil. I don't think I would trust it. So it's not surprising to me that his language is peppered with the F word and four-letter words. But he says, lights pulsating, lights with no boundaries. You can't really understand it. And there's an alien communicating with me. And there's a dude who looks like a Thai Buddha, except he's made entirely of energy. All right, that's just evil, guys. That's just evil. So touch no unclean thing. Pay attention. And pray for discernment. The Holy Spirit recoils from such things. You will hear the voice and you will recoil. So seek to get closer to the Holy Spirit and you will naturally avoid these other things. Catherine, I'll see you tomorrow.